Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final snap of the preseason, and it'll be a touch of the knee for Dwayne Haskins. Washington will win 19-7 here tonight. The final tonight, Washington 19 and Atlanta 7.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Tour Championship live from Eastlake Golf Club. Randy McMichael, John Chuck, we're here with you. Wes Durham on the call there. Final call as the Falcons lose last night 19-7. Don't forget we stream online at 929thegame.com. Check out our article about talking about Ito Smith securing that second running back position. We get into now the Braxton Big Clips of the day, Randy. Brought to you.
My internet done went out. I can't even get it pulled up.
Braxton Big Clips of the Day brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
Good Lord. I mean, it just went out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. Internet going out again out of you. 19-7 last night. Falcons do lose in that game for what you will take out of it. So the dress rehearsal, some good, some bad. Obviously, a lot to pick apart, in it if you like kickers and punt returners and things like that. I guess maybe that's a good thing when – if you're worried about kickers and punt returners as part of your NFL team, Randy, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Pretty good at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, D-line, O-line, everywhere else. If kicker and punt return is your two biggest angry points on Twitter, then maybe that's not too bad.
It's not that bad, but it's just the point of you saw what the bad can be if you don't have those positions locked down. You can lose two possessions in a game for Matt Ryan, and that could be critical in if you're going for playoff series and you don't know. Right now, when I look at the Falcons, they had their best drive of the preseason, and it was by the good guys.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, you didn't have your starting tailback, and you didn't have your best football player, and you were having a backup at right tackle. But for the most part, your guys were in there. Your dudes was in there. That was your best drive of the game. I'm not really worried about the Falcons. I mean, I think that right tackle thing is going to work itself out. And if you look closely last night, they were sliding the protection to help on that right side, too. And I expect a lot more of that and with backs and tight ends and everybody on that side. So they'll figure out a way. Dirk Cutt is a very smart offensive coordinator with Mularkey. They'll find a way to help that right tackle, depending. And it doesn't really matter who's going to be there. They're not going to tell that guy, hey, you see Danielle Hunter over there? You got him all game. They're not going to do that.
We've split it around and wanted to give those guys their opportunities. It doesn't always go like you want, especially for a rookie, but you have to, kind of live through those moments and keep pushing them forward and see how they respond from them, and they'll get certainly some more chances next week when we head down to Jacksonville.
Dan Quinn there talking about Green and Zacchaeus getting another shot next week, Randy.
Two you guys got nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play some guys, right? I mean,
what you saw, even if Green takes one back, He's still not going to get that job.
No.
You know, it's just not going to happen. And Zacchaeus, I know at the beginning of the training camp, JC, when we were out there, he's a guy that a lot of people were talking about. And they were like,
he was really productive in college.
And a lot of people were talking about him, JC, as a guy that could possibly make this team. Now, Marcus Green was a draft pick, and, you thought about, because I was sitting there talking to Dave Archer, and we were talking about the possibility of them using him in different ways on offense. Because it was more or less, we were like, hey, he has his punt return thing down already, so let's find something else for him to do. And obviously, we were wrong.
Yeah, like it happens when you get into week four, it's potentially just trying to get some tape for other teams out there.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Matt stay clean tonight in the pocket and him completing the ball to a number of different guys early. So I thought, although we weren't able to get for the short yardage play that we wanted, we moved back, missed a field goal. I was pleased with the line play on both sides, especially in the first quarter.
Dan Quinn talking about that offensive line play last night. You know, I'm not going to tell you Chris Lindstrom is by any means anything that's going up there in Indianapolis with that guy. But let me tell you, Lindstrom, he'll steal a few souls this year. There'll be some plays where he's going to get a hold of somebody, and he's going to make a play. He's going to have a learning curve.
Right.
But he looks like he could be pretty good, Randy.
I think he's going to be really good. The one thing he has to work on, and just like most young linemen, your pass protection, all right? He's had some issues, but it's nothing that can't be fixed by getting coached up on it.
And by the way, he doesn't come from a program that threw it around a whole
exactly.
lot.
Exactly. he believes it going forward.
Right, you know? Right.
And
right.
So, but, I mean, I thought once James, once he dusted himself off on the touchdown drive, you saw when he put his hands on you, you moved out the way.
Yeah.
I thought Jamon Brown was okay. I still think James Carpenter is the right guy for that position. I thought Jake Matthews was just steady. He was steady, didn't give up any pressures, did really good in the run game. And I thought, you know, I thought he did okay. A lot of the time when you were talking, when he got hit and when Matt Ryan got hit and all those things, that ball should have been out. I didn't think the receivers did a good enough job of getting open. And then sometimes they just got your number. Sometimes they got your number. But I'm glad when Matt broke contain, like, he could have got about 5 or 6 more yards. Get out, Matt.
Yeah, slide.
Get out,
yeah,
Matt, please.
Yeah.
Please.
And I don't – I'll be honest with you, Randy. I don't think there was any opportunity to really get a true evaluation of this line, unfortunately, until you get to Minnesota, until you get up there against the Vikings and really see these guys play for an extended period of time.
And nowadays, with people not playing all their starters, and this is not for Atlanta Falcons, you don't really get a real beat on your team until maybe the second or third game of the regular season.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's just kind of the way that the league works out of it.
There were some good first down runs, you know, that was a short yardage play that got converted. Another one, you know, that was a 2nd and 2 or 3, a new set of downs occurred. And I thought he really played behind his pads tonight. And for his size, I've been hoping to see that. And so now that he's starting to gain his feel, you feel his physicality and his size. And so, you know, that was good to see for a big guy to run behind his pads like he did. I was glad to see that.
Dan Quinn there talking about Kadri Ollison out of Pitt. 12 carries, 42 yards last night. I know statistically that doesn't look all that good, but I thought he actually ran pretty well, Randy. I thought he made some nice runs. And, you know, look, he got 12 carries in the preseason. So they obviously wanted to showcase him and get him a lot of work last night.
I thought he did really good. I thought he ran hard. Just like Dan said, I thought he got behind his pad, which is the most important thing when you're a bigger back like his. And I'm not talking about the girth-wise, I'm talking about height-wise. And he got down behind his pads. With Ortiz going down, it's a real possibility that they might keep for all four of these guys.
Right.
And with the and we still have got to see how Jaden Graham is doing as far as the ankle, because he's a tight end that he showed me yesterday. I know it's a small sample size, but he showed me that he has a potential to maybe be that move tight end, fullback, H-back type guy, because you saw he had an opportunity to do all the things that the fullback does. He had a chance to be in eye formation and lead up on a linebacker. Did a really good job. Got a chance to move on the edge and block a D and combo with the other tight end. Did a really good job. Only thing we got to do is just see if this kid is healthy, because he had a nice catch on third down for a first down play. And if they keep him, then they're going to keep four tight ends probably.
You know, and the other thing about the running back spot, Randy, is, and I hate to say it this way, but if you were to put Brian Hill on the practice squad or Kadri Ollison on the practice squad, somebody would go get Kadri. I don't know that they would go get Brian Hill.
That's a good point. Has Brian Hill showed enough to be able to pick him up? I think somebody would take Ollison off.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is that you have to look at, okay, if I put him on the practice squad, there's a good chance that somebody's going to go and grab him.
You know, my focus is always on myself, and I can kind of controlling the controllable. Really, there's a lot of things that are controlling this business. I know that when I wake up every morning, say a little prayer, gratitude, and just give my best that day.
That was Falcons kicker Giorgio Tavecchio talking last night postgame about whether or not he's worried, as it's Randy McMichael Johnson.
You better be worried.
Yeah, live from the Tour Championship.
Didn't I say this earlier this week about this dude, how he was sounding like he'd been doing it for years? I was like, hold on, Pippen. You know, I know he punked John Freaky, and that wasn't cool at all. But, bruh, you ain't done nothing to be.
Sure wasn't cool?
What? Oh, that wasn't cool to punk Freaky. Yeah, that wasn't cool. Uh-uh, but I'm just saying, this dude, the way he was talking earlier this week when they showed a clip of, when we played a clip of, and I said something about, I'm like, man, bro, you act like you done something in this league. I always tell you this, JC, everybody loves the backup kicker, everybody loves that guy.
Backup radio host?
The backup, everybody. They love him. And then once it's their time to be that number one guy, and they find out it's a different type of pressure, it gets a little tight. Can't get a Greens BB through it. A little tight.
Yeah, I'm learning. 404-741-0929 is our phone lines. Our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, bringing the Braxton Big Clips of the day as action teeing off here at the Tour Championship last night. Yeah, I mean, obviously a terrible look when you're talking about, you know, if you're trying to get him to kick 57, 58 yards, one thing. 39 yards after knowing that everybody's got angst about
and
this
that,
right
and
now.
That, see, that was the thing, JC. He knew – He heard the noise.
Exactly.
He knows what's going on.
Yep.
And then your first attempt, and then it was so crazy on the broadcast, they were like, hold on, let's take a look at the snapper and holder. Man, it was perfect execution except for the kick.
Well, they tried to, you know, last week was, well, you know, I heard on Twitter, well, you know, it was tips.
It was.
Last week was
tips. It was.
Okay, but still, sometimes your kicker doesn't do enough to, you know, to help that not get tipped either. I'm not telling you one way or the other. I'm just telling you that, look, that position, Randy, is a results-oriented business.
It is.
You either make it
or
you miss it.
For whatever reason, it
doesn't matter. You either make it or you miss it.
It's just something how he, you know, you got to look at the Glavins and Smoltzes and Maddox and guys. I mean, the elite pitchers in the game, really, when you start looking like that. I mean, and you're comparing and you know, and the guys that I've been around and you know, Huddy was that way. You know, they just kept pitching, and there's no situation seemed to bother him. But that group of guys is who he reminds me of.
That is Braves manager Brian Sicker putting Mike Soroka in the glab.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
He's been great. He's been unbelievable. Don't do that to the boy.
I know.
Don't do that to the young man. He's been really good all season long. But he did wear down yesterday.
He did, seventh inning.
Before he got tired, it just seemed like he was just dealing.
He was rolling.
He was doing his thing. But yeah.
But here's the thing. You need him. He's got to be able to get through that seventh inning when it gets to be October.
Yes, I agree.
And that's where you want to – that's where you're kind of like, you know, he gave you such six good innings. You're like, okay, that's great. But I need him to be able to get through that seventh inning at times when I get into the playoffs and it gets tight. And listen, I understand. That guy in L.A. is not a great manager either, but I know what he's not going to do.
He ain't taking them out.
He ain't pulling those guys.
Yeah.
He ain't going to pull those guys, you know, right away. You got to be able to have some guys that can go deeper into games. And, look, I know it sounds silly to say seven innings is going deep into games, but in today's Major League Baseball, going seven innings is going deep into games.
Yeah, and the thing with him is that he's been your best pitcher all year long. But we know that he's in a situation where he's never been this far, this deep as a starting pitcher. So, and we were talking, when we said this yesterday, do they start cutting him back and all that? We both thought that if he got to six with the lead, that he would take him out after that, and he didn't. And when you look at this game overall, you didn't know. I wanted to see the Braves in a situation like this, but even though the Braves won in a walk-off, did it really seem this close? Even though Ronald Acuña got the walk-off, it just seemed like the Braves were in control of this game the whole night. It just seemed like to me.
I'll tell you, Alcantara was really good.
He was really good.
He was
dealing, but at the same time, I still felt like the Braves, eventually going to win it.
And here
comes Freddie.
Right, because
here comes Ronnie.
I knew he wouldn't pitch nine innings. So I knew at some point that and by the way, the guy that lost last night, his ERA is like 9.35 last night.
But the only thing about the young pitcher for the Marlins, he walks a lot of batters.
Yes, he does.
He walks a lot of
batters. Except last night.
Except for last night, yeah. And Nichevera got another hit.
Yep.
Two more hits, I'm sorry.
It's amazing. It really is. I mean, I think Ronald's going to play until he's late 30s, if not 40s. So he's got another 19 years. So hopefully I'm around to watch a lot of it. So it's pretty special. It's kind of – you kind of knew it was kind of setting up to – once he came up with a game on the line, you kind of knew it was going to happen.
You kind of did. I knew it.
Yeah, Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman there on that, talking about nephew Ronald, as Jarvis likes to say. Yeah, I mean, look, when you put him in a position like that, especially against the Marlins, you feel like good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, when I sat there and we were watching it, we got both games on, and we were watching it, I was like, babe, watch this. And there it goes. I mean, it was just only a matter of time before they got that. Again, he goes back to show that, you know, he is Miami's daddy, him and Julio Teheran. He's having a phenomenal year. And I'm just – the one thing we got to do, we got to get him on base, Chuck, so we get some steals. We got to get him on base so we get some steals, all right? Because I want the NL MVP on my team. And I think if he's a 40-40 guy, he's got it.
You think he can get to 40 at this point?
No, I don't.
I think it's going to be hard to get to 40.
It's going to be hard to get to 40 steals.
Isn't he like 0 for 2 in his last two steals?
Yeah, and it's like he's so – you know, they're waiting on it. They're sitting on it. And I told you, when they played the Mets, he should have ran on the Mets. Because the Mets, and they're playing them again. This is the series they're going against. They're not very good back there behind the plate as far as defensively. So, let's see if he can get it. He's going to get at least two up there.
Braves go up to Gotham tonight to start a three-game set against the Mets. A good pitching matchup tonight. Mike Foltynewicz and Jacob deGrom.
How big for Folty?
I think it's a big start. I think it's a big start because, I mean, look, these are not that you're going to play the Mets,
right?
But these are like playoff pitching types of matchups. You know what I mean? Like when you've got DeGrom, Fulte, that's a playoff game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's a playoff pitching matchup. Won't be DeGrom. You know, it'll be, you know, John Lester or, you know, Ryu or somebody like that. But it'll be one of those types of guys.
Hey, Brian, I got a question for you because I'm looking right now. Like I said, they're starting to tee off right now. And I'm looking at the leaderboard that's right in front of us. And if you're like plus two or something right now, what's going through your head when you're thinking about 15 mil?
You're trying to cash some checks because the higher that you finish, I mean, it's still going to be money.
Yeah.
So you're going to be down.
Don't forget, there's $60 million in total personal.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it'll be 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and may not look like they're playing for much, but these putts are probably for a couple $100,000. Uh-huh. So they'll be locked in, ready to go.
If I'm two over, I'm John Daly. I'm smoking and drinking on the course.
Hey, man, I'm going Tanya Harden. I'm hiring somebody. Hey, man. Go grab somebody, man.
I'm gonna be Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus. I'm gonna smoke on the greens, and I'm gonna have a drink next to my putter.
You would.
When we get back, college football game time. Our show had a chance to catch up with the voice of the Florida Gators, Mick Hubert, as we get ready tomorrow for college football action.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's real tomorrow. We will hear that all next. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery from the Tour Championship on Sports Radio and NFL Game.
Randy and John are at the East Lake Golf Club covering the PGA Tour Championship live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back at it, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery from the Tour Championship on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our college football game time show this past Saturday caught up with Mick Hubert, the play-by-play voice of the Florida Gators. And we start by asking him how important this matchup against Miami was to win for Florida and for Dan Mullen.
It's an important game. I think every game really is important. But when you're playing an in-state opponent, it's not an annual rivalry game, but it has a history of tradition, so to speak. When you're playing an in-state team, I think it heightens interest. But I think the thing that really sticks out to me, Chris, is the fact that this is defined as week zero. So somebody's going to be 0-1. That's a tough way to start the season. But I do think whoever loses certainly has plenty of opportunities to get it back. And when you look at Florida's situation, you never always talks about who Florida does or doesn't play in the non-conference or who they play or don't play within the league. And I think really it comes down to you better be concerned about the eight teams you do play in the league, because on any given Saturday in the SEC, you can get beat. So, you know, those all 12 games are important, but those eight conference games really are important. And so, this game with Miami is a big one. And I think the thing about it is, you know, ESPN asked us to come and play it a week early. So it is really the only game in the mainland. I think Arizona's at Hawaii later that night. But, you know, it's the game they chose as the marquee game to kick off the 150th season of college football. That's why we're playing it a week early.
You know, Mick, it's John Chuckery here. I had a chance to talk to your counterpart, Joe Zagacki, last night, previewing the Hurricanes. And he said that there is a definite potential that there may be an announcement at the game that Miami and Florida will do some home-and-home. I mean, how important is it for this rivalry to get back together, to get these two schools to be playing on a more regular basis with one another?
Well, John, I don't know really if I have a concrete opinion on that. I guess on one hand, you could say, and I don't mean to sound arrogant on this, but on the one hand, there's a school of thought that says Miami needs Florida a lot more than Florida needs Miami. Hmm. Now, having said that, I think what's probably going to happen is the league, the SEC, is probably going to add another conference game. So, and who knows, maybe at some point they'll play 10 conference games, which I think would be fine, which would leave you just two games not in the conference if that would occur. One of them, obviously, is going to be Florida State, so it gets a little crowded in there. I know Florida's pushed under Scott Strickland to add a little better quality opponent non-conference, so we've got an upcoming series with Texas in a few years, home and home. We've got Colorado home and home, so, you know, and then we played Michigan 2 years ago in the opening game at the Jerry World, and now this one with Miami. And like Joe says, I do think there probably is a possibility of a future home and home, but I don't think it'll be on an annual basis. I just don't see that fitting into the schedule because I do think the league is probably going to go to 9 games. I think that's what fans want. I think that's probably going to happen. So that crowds out another non-conference game in the future, probably.
Mick, when you look at last year's team, and I mean, they went from 4-10. I mean, and Dan Mullen did a great job with the quarterback position. I thought Felipe Franks got better as the season went along. But you do have this young kid behind him, and Emory Jones, who they want to get some reps. How long a leash does Felipe Franks have this season, and can he hold off the young guy?
Randy, I think for the first time in a while, the Gators don't have any quarterback controversy going into the season. The way Felipe Franks improved under Dan Mullen last year, not necessarily week to week, but certainly month to month. And when you look at the last four games, Florida was playing excellent football. Franks went 8 touchdowns and no picks over the last four games. So he has the job. They're very high on Emory Jones. They believe he's got a lot of potential. And, you know, they played him like they played him smartly last year, like a lot of coaches did. They played him those four games, got him those four games experience, and didn't burn his red shirt. So, you know, he's got a chance. And I believe he's going to play in a lot of games. I think there's a package of plays for him. And as you know, in college football, you're just one play away. Mm-hmm. And if Franks gets hurt or something, I don't think they have any qualms about turning the job over full-time to Emory Jones. Having said that, if Felipe Franks starts out this year really like he started out last year, and it wasn't horrible, but if the coaching staff senses a drop off from him, then I think, you know, then he's going to be splitting time a lot more. I think it's his job, but I think Jones is going to be ready to play. And like I said, Felipe Franks has some bad series or bad quarters, consecutive bad quarters. I don't think Dan will hesitate at all, much in the manner of Steve Spurrier. He didn't hesitate at all if he felt that it was right to make the change. And as you know, some games he alternated quarterbacks by play. So, you know, I think Dan has more of that line of thinking that I don't mind playing two quarterbacks. But having said all of that, going into this year, there's no question Felipe Franks is the starting quarterback for Florida.
He's the voice of the Florida Gators, Mick Hubert, with us on College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mick, what kind of questions do you still have about the Florida offense?
Well, I think the biggest question, and it's not a mystery, is that how is the offensive line going to improve? Last year's offensive line did improve, again, almost week to week. And by the end of the year, they're playing very well. Now, Florida has to replace four guys on the offensive line. I think they're going to be okay. The one guy they don't have to replace is the starting center. And if there's one guy you want to return, if you had your pick, it would probably be return your starting center. So I think they'll be okay. I don't know if they'll be great. I don't know if they need to be great. I think a coach, if he's a really good play caller, can sometimes mitigate some of those deficiencies that you have on the line. So I think that's what Dan Mullen did last year, especially with Felipe Franks. Hey, he's not a totally 100% polished quarterback. He's got some things he can't do. Well, if you're a coach and you keep asking a player to do the things they don't do well and they don't do it well, then it's not necessarily the player's fault, is it? It's kind of your fault for keep running them out there and doing those same things. And so I think Dan put Franks in position to have success, and therefore his confidence got better. So he goes into this year, Franks, as a very confident quarterback based on the fact that I think he was coached very well. And I think that's the big plus that Florida had last year. I think they won a game or two along the course of the season because of Dan Mullen's play calling. Because Dan inherited a train wreck before he got here. You know, we win four games in 2017, and largely the same cast of characters went out and won 10 last year. That has to do with coaching, in my opinion.
Mick, C.J. Henderson, cornerback for this team, just another in the long line of the great corners that Florida has had. What is it that makes him so special? I mean, and kind of really heading up one of the best tandems in all of college football.
You know what I'm looking forward to seeing in C.J. Henderson is, you know, how well he runs and how well he moves, because he's put on about 15 to 17 pounds, and now he's gone to about 202, 203 on that 6'1" frame. So he's a bigger corner now. And obviously he was second team all SEC last year, and he's picked to be, I think, first team this year. And he's a junior. You know, he debuted in that Michigan game in 2017, his first game as a Gator, had a pick six against Michigan, and, you know, has played really well in these first 2 years. And I'm glad you mentioned the tandem because, you know, Marco Wilson was an outstanding freshman, probably was a little bit more highly thought of as a freshman than C.J. Henderson. And Wilson had a very good first year. And then last year, in the very first series of the Kentucky game, he got hurt. And it blew out his knee, and we lost him for the whole year. So he's back, and he looks really great. Looks really good. So you know, it's essential to have those two guys in there. And then when Wilson went out last year, they put another true freshman in there in Trey Dean, and he played very well as a true freshman. Now, he's probably going to be the nickel, and, you know, he's got some tough shoes to fill there because of the nickel we had last year was pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I think they feel pretty good with the corners, and they have some returning people at the safety. And, you know, I think if there's a question mark on the Florida defense, it's not like not unlike a lot of other teams. And how much depth do they have at linebacker? It seems like linebacker depth is always kind of a question around football. And I think they do have depth on the defensive line. And I think their defense is pretty solid. But we'll wait and see. So, as they say, we're almost to the end of the talking season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, Mick, we were talking about Florida early and some of the playmakers, Kadarius Toney, and my partner, JC, he brought up Van Jefferson and the expectations they have for him, because Florida's always in a place where they have big-time wide receivers.
Yeah, and last year, getting the two transfers at wide receiver totally changed the complexion of Florida's team. I mean, when you got a skilled player like Van Jefferson, 6'2", 200, that had played in the SEC at Ole Miss, that was a real good get. And then to get Trey Grimes, a kid from Florida who started out at Ohio State, he's 6'5". At about 215, he's a talent. He's going to have a big year. And then Tyree Cleveland is back, and Josh Hammond and Freddie Swain, and as you mentioned, Kadarius Toney. You know, he's a guy that could take it the distance at any one time. They want to get his hands on that football. He's a runner or as a receiver. Now, there's another youngster by the name of Naquan Wright, who's a freshman from Miami. That's really a guy that to be contended with, and yet he's looking at maybe fourth or fifth of the running back spot. He'd probably be redshirted. But when you got LaMichael Perine and Damian Pierce from there in Bainbridge, Georgia, and then Malik Davis, those are three pretty good guys. And there's Iverson Clement, who's another good running back. They used him a little bit on defense last year. So that's why I say they're well-stocked at the running back spot, and they've got a boatload of receivers there. And I think that was what was kind of missing before Dan got back, was the ability to really connect with the receivers. I mean, sloppy route running, almost an unwillingness to go one-on-one and win 50-50 balls, those kinds of things. And we saw all that kind of return last year. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but, you know, you could see that with the play calling and Frank's getting a little sharper, making a little better throws. And yeah, I think the biggest thing also is the fact that this, what's so very frustrating for anybody, a fan or a coach or anybody, is on 3rd and 7, see your receiver run 5 yards, right, make the catch, and get tackled. You know. So last year we didn't see that. 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, our guys ran 10 or 11 yards, and we're deep enough to make the catch and get a first down. Now, obviously you like those yards after catch, but you can't expect the guy always to break tackles behind the line of scrimmage to pick up that first down. So I think we played a lot smarter football last year.
Coming up next, What's Bugging Chuckery? Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, live from the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Randy and John are broadcasting live from East Lake Golf Club for the PGA Tour Championship on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back into East Lake Golf Club, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery in for Andy Bunker. Middays here on 92.9 The Game is live here at the Tour Championship. Action underway about 42 minutes ago. Everybody started teeing off, so I didn't see who's the next group that is coming up. Next group would be 12:40, Ricky Fowler. And,
oh, that's Brian's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian's guy.
And then 12:50 will be Tommy Fleetwood and Abraham Answer.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
They come up at 12:50. So live with you here today till 2 o'clock. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Don't forget, an hour from now, we will do an Ask Me Anything, so you can get your questions in on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow the station at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media platforms. He is at RandyMac81. I am at JMCH316. And something I like to do, we call it What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Randy McMichael, Tom Brady actually took an L as of today.
What?
So, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, his application to trademark the term Tom Terrific was refused by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Brady, who said his goal was to ensure people didn't refer to him by that nickname, obviously created a story because Tom Terrific is known in my entire lifetime by one guy.
A wrestler.
Tom Seaver. No, Tom
Seaver. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say a wrestler.
Oh, good Lord.
I thought you were going to say a wrestler. Somebody.
No, no. Gosh, Tom Terrific is Tom Seaver, man. I mean, growing up, I mean, that was, you know, I wasn't, Mike Bell was the big Mets fan. So, you know, Tom Terrific was always the nickname of Tom Seaver. Well, according to the USPTO, United States Patent and Trademark Office, they said on Thursday because, quote, the applied for mark consists of or includes matter which may falsely suggest a connection with Tom Seaver. Now, Brady has 6 months to respond to the rejection if he wants to. But in June, if you remember, Brady did express regret in applying for the trademark. He said, quote, it's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I didn't like the nickname, and I wanted to make sure no one used it because some people wanted to use it. I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it was. Good lesson learned, and I'll try to do things a little different in the future. It wasn't something I was trying to do out of any disrespect or any ill manner or anything like that. So basically what Tom is trying to say is, I didn't want anybody but me to be able to make money.
Exactly.
Off it.
Exactly.
I mean, just miss me with the whole, oh, I'm trying to honor the name and all that kind of stuff. No, you didn't want anybody on T-shirts to put Tom Terrific and make sure that they made a buck or two off it without you getting a slice of the pie out of
it.
Is
everything all about, well, no, yes, everything is about making money. But everybody wants to trademark everything.
Yeah.
Didn't Ohio State want to trademark the last week?
They want to trademark the as part of the Ohio State University.
I mean, Tom Brady got so much. He got a beautiful wife, nice kids, beautiful kids, a whole lot of money. I mean, he's Super Bowls, he has all this. And this right here is what is that important to him, really. He got the TB12 thing, which I still don't believe that works. I just think that he's just, you know, lucky that the rules have changed. But, I mean, you got all this, but yet you want more.
Yeah.
That's just selfish.
And by the way, like I said, miss me with the whole idea that I didn't want it to become a controversy with Tom Seaver or anything. No, he didn't. He wanted to make sure nobody could make money off it. Because what would have happened if he'd have gotten a trademark and then Tom Seaver goes to autograph signings and puts on his baseball Tom Terrific?
So Tom Seaver puts Tom Terrific on his?
Probably. I'm guessing. I bet he probably does. Pete Rose puts Charlie Hustle on everything he autographs. You don't think Tom Seaver wouldn't put, like, you know, Hall of Famer Tom Seaver, Tom Terrific, whatever?
I'm sure he does, but I'm saying. But can they share it? I mean, Tom, but yeah.
Oh, no, this would have been Brady. If Brady would have owned the rights to all that.
Well, I'm glad he caught that L, because that's your favorite player. And Tom Brady already has so much, so what does he need anymore?
Would it have been great if Tom Seaver would show up to a Patriots game and throw a baseball at him?
No.
Just for no reason?
No.
Just fire one off?
No.
Tom Seaver's probably 80 years old by now. I don't know how old Tom Terrific is, but he's probably 80-something years old for all of it. So, Tom Brady actually takes an L, which is a rare occurrence out there. But miss me with the whole idea of that he's, you know, trying to protect the integrity of the name or what have you like that. No, he just wants to make sure nobody makes a Tom Terrific avocado ice cream or something brand for him out there.
Doesn't he have his own ice cream? Like, that? Is the avocado ice cream his idea, or was it something that he was eating?
It's probably like Ben and Jerry's or something like that.
Okay. Because I was always curious. I was like, is he flipping the ice cream?
I don't think he makes his own avocado ice cream. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he came up with that concoction. I'm guessing that he bought it from some health food store. Somebody turned him on to it. Because that's his treat.
He does have his own avocado ice cream recipe.
Okay.
I don't know if he makes it for the masses.
Okay.
He'll trademark that. Yeah.
How do you make avocado ice cream? Like, because I know that was one of my favorite things Mama would do. She had her own ice cream maker. She would make it. And Donna actually bought us one, too.
Like 4 pounds of sugar and salt
that
you put in there?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that was always cool. So do you put that in there, and do you put fresh avocado in there?
Well, he ain't put no sugar or salt.
But you know what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. Do you put the avocado and ice in there?
You probably have to ask a dopey millennial, because they'll be the ones that will tell you how to make
ice cream. So I need to call Thomas Mott.
Yeah. Call Hot Take Tommy or somebody like that.
Oh, we got our own Bellino right here.
That's true. Yeah, we could ask Brian.
What you got, Brian?
Know the ingredients?
Yeah, let me hear it.
All right, we got one avocado, a half cup of raw cashews, a half cup of coconut meat. That's from young coconuts specifically. 1.5 cups of dates, 1 cup of raw chocolate powder, I guess, and then 1 1/4 cup water. 1 1/4 cup water. So basically nuts and
no
avocado.
Sugar, no salt. And I guarantee he uses the dark cocoa. Like when you say chocolate, he uses like the dark cocoa because that's real low sugar. Like when not like milk chocolate, but you use like the dark cocoa for those kinds of recipes.
Okay, I mean, like again, I mean, I won't eat it, but I
can
mean,
you imagine what that tastes like? By the way,
no, I can't.
Like that concoction, that's worse than some of those drinks they tried to email us. That's some inside baseball there.
But, yeah, I mean.
And we're going to go drink them anyway.
Yeah, we're going to go drink it. Yeah, we're about to go, get, we're anyway, go yeah. over here to the to the great.
I mean, don't get it twisted. We're still going to drink them if they're
but
free.
But my thing, you know what, Tom Brady's great. And he has, I mean.
He's the best all-time.
Has there been a,
he's the best.
Has there been a football player that's had a better life than Tom?
Better life? Probably not.
I mean, this dude got it all.
Yeah.
You got the supermodel wife that makes more money than you. You got Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
I mean, dude.
Even his ex, I don't know if she was his wife or girlfriend.
Was she Tom Cruise's wife? Or?
No. She's the girl from iRobot. What was her name?
Oh, that's Tom's old lady?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, that's the one he had the kid with. Damn. Bridget Moynihan.
Damn, Tom.
She's good looking. She's Bridget was real nice. Yeah,
she nice on the eyes.
She got the kid with him.
Jordan 92.9 The Game and Taste of Atlanta at Southern Wing Showdown on Sunday, August 25th from 1 to 5 p.m. My man Chuckery will be there MCing at Fairmont in West Midtown.
MC Chuckery?
That's what you told me? This is an all-inclusive event that will serve up to 30 unique wing flavors, craft beers, Southern spirits, and live music. For ticket info, go to the events page on 92.9thegame.com.
So, not MC, the two letters. It'll be EMCEE because.
Well, I mean, dude, just
MC Chucky. Hey,
don't
bring him out. Bring him out. Bring him out.
Oh my God!
What?
We'll get back into what's trending when we get back here on the midday shows with Andy and Randy, Lame John Checker.
Bring him out.
Andy
bring him out. Bring him out
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.